الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. May Allah accept us and enable us to learn and study the lives, the beautiful lives of the glorious Sahaba, the galaxy of Sahaba and Sahabiyat رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. Really, their lives are so inspirational. Every one of their lives that we open up and we study and we delve into, it just becomes fragrant. It just becomes more and more fragrant. We learn about a Sahabiyya. A Sahabiyya who was one of the last to tread on this earth. She was none other than that Sahabiyya who was born in Abyssinia. She was born to parents who made great sacrifices for Allah's deen. Who was her father? Khalid bin Sa'id ibn al-As bin Umayyah bin Abd Shams bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab ila al-akhir. So Khalid bin Sa'id ibn al-As was her father radiyallahu anhu. He embraced Islam in the initial stages when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would invite to Allah's deen. In the early stages, Khalid radiallahu anhu embraced Islam. We will share a little on how he embraced and what prompted that embracing in a little while. Her mother was Umayma. Two reports, Umayma bint Khalaf ibn As'ad ibn Amir ibn Bayada. Either Umayma or the other report states Umayna. Umayna. Anyway, commonly Umayma radiallahu anha, as Ibn al-Athir rahimahullah mentions in his Uftul Ghaba. The couple embraced Islam in the early stages. They went through great sacrifices. Muslims went through a lot of torture for the pleasure of Allah. And then because of this difficulty, they had to make hijrah. They made hijrah in Allah Ta'ala's way and they strove in Allah Ta'ala's path to protect their iman. To protect their iman, they migrated to Abyssinia. So this couple, namely Khalid bin Sa'id bin As and his wife Umayma radiallahu anhuma, made hijrah to Abyssinia. They were not the only ones. Many, many Sahaba radiallahu anhum made this hijrah in the early Meccan stages because of the torture and the onslaught they were going through in Makkah Mukarramah just for their iman. They went to a foreign land to protect the iman. Couples made hijrah. Some were individuals, many were couples. Just to mention a few of these couples. And we learn from here how Sahaba radiallahu anhum, husband and wife together made qurbani and sacrifice for Allah's pleasure. Made sacrifice for Allah's deen. They supported each other. For example, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu, with his blessed wife Ruqayya bintu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Otherwise, besides Khalid bin Sa'id and Umayma radiallahu anhuma, was Amr bin Sa'id ibn al-As, Khalid's brother. With him, his wife, Fatima bint Safwan bin Umayyah radiallahu anha. Qais ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu, with his wife, Baraka bin Yasar radiallahu anha. Abu Hudayfa bin Utba radiallahu anhu, with his wife, Sahla binti Suhail radiallahu anha. Jaham bin Qais radiallahu anhu, with his wife Ummu Harmala bint Abdul Aswad radiallahu anha. Al-Muttalib ibn Azhar radiallahu anhu, with his wife Ramla bint Abi Auf radiallahu anha. Al-Harith bin Khalid radiallahu anhu, with his wife Raita bint Al-Harith radiallahu anha. Like this, many many Sahaba radiallahu anhum in the form of couples made hijrah to Abyssinia. And they made this great sacrifice. And who was born in Abyssinia? Who was born in Abyssinia? None other than this great Sahabiyya. This great Sahabiyya who we are about to learn. Ama bint Khalid radiallahu ta'ala anha. Let me pronounce again so that we can learn the correct pronunciation of the names of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Ama bint Khalid radiallahu anha. Respected listeners, Ama radiallahu anha and her brother Sa'id radiallahu anhu were both born in Abyssinia. Parents had to sacrifice to protect their iman. The children were born in foreign lands. But they grew up in the lands of Abyssinia. But they grew up in such an environment that the Sahaba, wherever they went, they established deen. Sahaba radiallahu anhum, wherever they went, they uplifted deen in the lives of themselves, their families, their children, the environment. Sahaba invited to Allah's deen in every environment. And we learn a great lesson here. Wherever a person may be, we have to invite to Allah's deen. We have to work on the environment. Otherwise the environment will weaken our iman and our offspring's iman. And if we do not work on the environment, then we might lose our children. We might lose our children because of the harms of the environment. That's why very beautifully our ulama say, agar hum da'i nahi honge, to mad'u banenge. If we're not going to invite to Allah, if we're not going to be the inviters, we will definitely be the invited. Either we invite or we are invited. Either we invite to Allah, call to Allah, advocate the greatness of Allah's deen, the beauty of Islam, the beauty of the sunnah. Number one, Allah will enable us to practice it. Allah will give us the tawfiq to practice the sunnah. Number two, we will get rewards and blessings by others coming into the sunnah, coming onto the sunnah, coming into the deen of Allah Ta'ala. How much of rewards then we will gain? When others will practice, Allah will reward us. And then, instead of the environment affecting us, we will affect the environment. Like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Abyssinia, like the environment Amma radiallahu anha grew up in. Take the example of milk. What a beautiful example. Milk, look at the origin. Quran says, نُسْقِيكُم مِّن بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Allah says, we quench you, we grant you such pure milk. But where does it come from? From between dung and blood. The purest of drinks come out. In the milk we do not find any stain of excreta. Something impure, excreta, dung, has to be washed if it touches your garment. Salah cannot be performed. Blood, something impure, not a stain of blood or dung in that milk. Where does it come from? What is its condition now as it comes out? This is to show the greatness of Allah. So we learn the effect of environment here also. That how pure was the milk, that put that milk in any environment. For example, put it in black tea, how it changes that color. We learn from here. We must invite and let the environment not change us. We must change the environment. And like this, we have to do the effort of iman, the effort of a'mal, the effort of sunnah. Allah will give us tawfiq first to practice. Just to show the importance of environment, from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, so many migrated in Allah Ta'ala's way. But there was one individual who took effect from the environment of Abyssinia. And he was affected by the people there. So instead of affecting them, they affected him. His name was Ubaydullah. Imagine. And then he comes home, he forces his wife that you should become Christian. You should forsake your deen. She refused. She refused to do such a thing, and she remained firm on her deen, and he became murtad and lost his iman. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in turn, to reward this sahabiyya radiallahu anha for her great efforts and preserving her deen in such a hostile environment, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proposed for her and then wedded her. She was none other than Ummu Habiba Ramla binti Abi Sufyan radiallahu anha. So how the environment can have an adverse effect on a person. But people of iman, the environment just makes them stronger. Like Khalid radiallahu anhu and his wife Umayma radiallahu anha, how they worked on their family, how they worked on their children. It's reported that Khalid radiallahu anhu would do ta'aleem and teach his little children in spite of the hostile environment, meaning the environment against deen, how they would work and make effort in Abyssinia, in rearing their children on firm iman, on protecting their deen. Khalid radiallahu anhu comes home, and his little child is waiting for him, and Khalid radiallahu anhu says to her, he gives her the story of his embracing Islam. This was such an incident, Allahu Akbar. He says, when I was in Makkah Mukarramah, now he's narrating to his family, in this ta'aleem, how he embraced Islam. He spoke on how deen
came into him. He says it was the early Meccan stage, during Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's efforts. He says, one night late, I went to sleep, and I was in a deep sleep. And then I saw myself being made to stand on the edge of a cliff, falling into a huge fire. And then I see behind me someone pushing me towards this fire. And he's trying to throw me into this blazing, awful fire. And I was so scared and petrified that I started to scream. And there I see Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come, grab me and rescue me and save me from that pit of fire, of hell. As Amma hears this little child hears this dream, She's now, you know, eager to know more of this incident of her father. This scene where father is narrating to daughter and the little child wants to know more. What then happened, father? What then happened, Abi? Then I went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who I knew was very good in interpreting dreams. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu invited me to Allah and said, this fire is the fire of hell. And it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who is trying to save you from Jahannam. Go to him. Do not follow your father. Otherwise your abode will be hellfire. I then went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah ta'ala brought my dream to fruition, where Allah saved me through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is how Khalid radiallahu anhu narrated this incident to his family. Invited his wife to Allah's deen. Then he invited those around him to Allah's deen. But his father was very, very upset. In the books of Sirah, that Khalid radiallahu anhu embraced Islam, and now he tried to work on his father and his brothers. But his father was very, very upset. His father was a senior Meccan Arab leader of Makkah. And his father was known as Abu Uhayha. He was very famous, to such an extent that even the turban he wore was so famous. If he wore a turban of a certain color, no one dare wear the same color turban. Whoever was wearing that color would remove the turban out of awe of this individual, Abu Uhayha. Abu Uhayha was very, very upset that his son Khalid embraced Islam. To such an extent that Abu Uhayha, who was Sa'id, he actually warned his children. He said to them, Aban, Amr and Hakam, the other three sons, he says, don't even speak to Khalid, otherwise I will torture you. And then he said to Khalid, I will not give you anything, nothing will come to you from me. اذهب يا لقع حيث شئت. Get out, O fool. Go where you want to go. You will not come to me. لَأَمَّ عَنَّكَ الْقُوتِ. I will not give you even anything to eat also. So Khalid radiallahu anhu would respond to his father and say, if you don't give me, my Allah is providing for me. إِن مَنَعْتَنِي فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي مَا أَعِيشُ بِهِ. إِن مَنَعْتَنِي فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُنِي مَا أَعِيشُ بِهِ. If you don't give me, my Allah is giving me. And then his father was so angry with him, so angry with him. His father would chase him, sway him, rebuke him, and hit him, beat him up with sticks. On occasions he broke the stick on Khalid radiallahu anhu's head. But still Khalid radiallahu anhu did not budge and did not forsake his deen. He did not forsake his deen. And then Sa'id Abu Uhayha would say to his other children, if you even speak to Khalid, I will do to you what I have done to him. Khalid radiallahu anhu devoted his time to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would conceal himself from his father. To such an extent, time came for hijrah to Abyssinia. Then Khalid radiallahu anhu migrated with his wife, Umayma radiallahu anha. There's a report that states that his father was very, very sick, and his father took a vow, because he was the noblest of men in Makkah. His father said, if I get cured of this disease, I will make sure that the deity of Ibn Abi Kabsha would not be worshipped in Makkah. He referred to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a derogatory manner when he said Ibn Abi Kabsha, the Lord of Ibn Abi Kabsha. Khalid radiallahu anhu made dua. Oh Allah, this is the aspiration and this is the intention of my father. Oh Allah, if these are his intentions, you do not remove his illness. And Allah made it that he died in that same illness. And look at the sacrifice of Khalid radiallahu anhu. He made migration and he went to Abyssinia, and now he's working on his family connecting their iman, protecting their iman, in spite of the environment of Abyssinia. The family spent many years in Abyssinia. And then it was the time of Khaybar. It was the time of Khaybar when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum in Abyssinia returned to the Hijaz al-Muqaddas and they came to Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Khaybar during that expedition and they came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy to meet the delegation of Abyssinia, those who protected the Iman, those who went to Abyssinia to uplift their deen and uplift deen in humanity, to uplift deen in mankind. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy with the Sahaba who came from Abyssinia, he gave them a share in the booties of Abyssinia. And then what about our hero of this incident, Amar radiallahu anha? How did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know her? Now she gets the opportunity to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amar radiallahu anha is known by the title Ummu Khalid, which means mother of Khalid. Yes, later on Allah gave her a child Khalid, but that was not the cause of this appellation. The actual reason is quite interesting. It was on an occasion in Medina Munawwara when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum and he received a beautiful garment, clothing. And Allah's Nabi said to the Sahaba, مَن تَرَوْنَ نَكْشُ هَذِهِ الْخَمِيصَ. What is y'all's opinion? Who should we clothe this beautiful garment? Everyone was silent. And Allah's Nabi said, bring Ummu Khalid to me. اِئْتُونِي بِأُمِّ Khalid. Bring Ummu Khalid to me. And who was brought? Amar radiallahu anha. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named her Ummu Khalid, the mother of Khalid. And also there's indication here of a long life. Khalid means living long, very, very long. Anyway, she was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his own hands placed this garment on me. She was very young. Her parents were in Abyssinia for approximately 10 some odd years. In the early Meccan stage they went, and then they came in the early seventh year after Hijrah. So good years, good more than 10 years approximately, living in Abyssinia. So she would be approximately that age. She says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took this garment and placed it on me, and said to me, Abli wa akhlifi, Abli wa akhlifi. In another report, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is a riwayat of Bukhari, Abli wa akhliqi, thumma abli wa akhliqi, thumma abli wa akhliqi, 3 times. The meaning is quite beautiful. Abli, utilize this garment, use it properly until it's worn out. Wa akhlifi. Akhlifi means to leave behind. It could mean leave behind offspring, leave behind the legacy, leave something great behind. Wa abli wa akhliqi. Utilize it. Use your garment. And wear it out, wear it properly. ثُمَّ أَبْلِي وَأَخْلِقِي. Again and again Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the statement. In this is indication, scholars deduce, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the statement to her. In one hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, هَذَا sana ya Umma Khalid. هَذَا sana ya Umma Khalid. In the riwayat of Musnad Ahmad, sana, sana, ya Umma Khalid. The statement sana, sana is actually in the Abyssinian language, meaning wonderful, beautiful, O Ummu Khalid, beautiful, O Ummu Khalid. But interestingly, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew different languages. So he addresses this child in a language of a people that she grew up amongst. So this was the beautiful, this was the knowledge of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was his way with people. How he spoke to them, in a language that they were used to. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew different languages. And this is the art of da'wat. This is the art and the etiquette of inviting to Allah Ta'ala. How to win the hearts. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed her with this gift and addressed her in this manner. Ulama mentioned that through this dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was the actual reasoning behind her lengthy life. Allah blessed her with such a long life that from all the sahabiyat, she was the last Sahabiya to tread the face of this earth. This was because of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement. Anyway, we learn many lessons here, my respected listeners. One is that Allah blessed us. Whatever we have in life is a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. We should never ever waste. Allah Ta'ala save us. It comes in Ibn Majah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that we don't have to always have new things. Sometimes we have something old, use that and mix it with the new. get new things and also use old things. Even as far as food is concerned, use the old one and don't waste the leftover food. Don't throw it away. Let it be eaten also. Even if you're making fresh food, what has remained also, eat that. Do not waste that. The hadith says that when man will not waste, and he will have fresh, but he will not waste what was left over, the shaitan then says, look at the human being. He has understood how to defeat me, that he doesn't waste. Allah give us tawfiq never ever waste. Allah Ta'ala save us. Wastage brings destruction. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to Aisha radiallahu anha, when people had thrown some bread, Allah's Nabi said, these blessings of Allah should be preserved. When they are taken away, they will never ever come back. So Allah save us from wastage. And also we should not have attitudes that we must only wear something that is new, or only something which is branded, or only something which is expensive, something which is concealing, something which is neat, something which is in accordance to sunnah. We should wear. It doesn't mean we're wearing something old. Yes, you can clean it, but we should clean it properly. Look neat, look tidy, look according to the sunnah. That is something beautiful. Allah give us tawfiq. We learn this from the sahabi and the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah, mentioned an interesting report from Amar radiallahu anha. She says, I heard Najashi say to those embarking onto the two ships, أَقْرِئُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَنِّي السَّلَامِ. I request you all to convey my salams to Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So Amar radiallahu anha says, from all those that conveyed Najashi's salams to Rasulullah صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, I was also of those. So let us learn a lesson from the Sahabiyya radiallahu anha. When someone requests us to convey salams, it is an amana. We should convey those salams. And also, when someone is going to meet someone we love, we should also send salams. Like Salman radiallahu anhu. You know, met Salman and Abu Darda. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu was in Palestine. So some sahaba came to meet him. And when they, some tabi'een, and when they met him, he said to them that my friend, my brother sent you all to me. They said, yes, Salman sent us to you to meet you and so forth. So he said, where is my gift? Where is my gift? So they said, no, he didn't give us anything. He didn't give us any amana to give you. He said that, didn't he say anything when you all were leaving? No, he didn't. But the one then said, no, but he did convey salams for you. So that was all I was waiting for. What gift is better than salams? So see what important sahaba radiallahu anhu gave to conveying and passing on the salams of each other to others. This is something beautiful for us to learn and present salams to each other and for each other and on behalf of each other. The salams is such a beautiful greeting. Allah give us tawfiq to make salam, to always be the first to make salam. Interestingly, Amar radiallahu anha narrates 7 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning there's 7 statements she learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that she learned and preserved and shared with the ummah. So she is in that category of sahaba and sahabiyat who learned 7 ahadith. How fortunate are we that we learn things from Amar radiallahu anha, that if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have reached us. What a great blessing. What a great favor the Sahaba radiallahu anhum have conferred upon us. Other Sahaba and Sahabiyat who also narrated 7 ahadith are namely Juwayriya Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha, Ummu Haram bint Milhan radiallahu anha, Zainab bint Ummi Salama radiallahu anha, and Amma bint Khalid radiallahu anha. These Sahaba learnt and presented to the Ummah 7 ahadith. Interestingly, as she grew, she was wedded to the famous Sahabi Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. We all know the Sahabi Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, that great Sahabi who on the day of Badr, when the Malaika of Allah descended to help the believers, to help the Ummah, they came down dressed in the garb, in the clothing, dressed in the garb of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. They were dressed in the turban of, in the same turban like Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu, and the garment of Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. So Zubayr radiallahu anhu wedded Amma binti Khalid radiallahu anha. And she had bore 2 children for Zubayr, Amr and Khalid. So then Allah did give her a child by the name of Khalid. So she was titled Ummu Khalid long before, but afterwards Allah did give her a child, Amr and Khalid. Interestingly, we learn about Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu. Allah blessed him with children, and he used to name his children after the shuhada of the Sahaba, those Sahaba who were martyred. For example, he had a son, Zubair radiallahu anhu had a son, Abdullah, after the famous Sahabi Abdullah bin Jahsh. He had a son, Mundir. He named him Mundir after the great Sahabi Mundir bin Amr, who became shaheed in the battle, Bi'r Ma'una. He had a son who he named Urwa, after the great Sahabi from Taif who gave his life in inviting to Allah, Urwa bin Mas'ud Thaqafi. He named one of his sons Hamza, after the great Sahabi, Sayyidu Shuhada, Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anhu. He named one of his sons Ja'far, after the great Sahabi Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He named one of his sons Mus'ab, after the great Sahabi Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. Zubayr radiallahu anhu named one of his sons Ubaidah, after the great Sahabi Ubaidah ibn al-Harith. He named one of his sons Khalid, after Khalid bin Sa'id bin As, and also Khalid bin Walid. He named one of his sons Amr, after the great Sahabi Amr bin Sa'id bin As radiallahu anhu. So how great was this lesson we learn from Zubayr radiallahu anhu. What names to give our children. Give our children the names of Sahaba. Give our children. He's a Sahabi. He's a Sahabi. But look at the love for Sahaba and the love they had for each other. He is naming his children Sahaba's names. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There's incidents in history that Amar radiallahu anha narrates to the Ummah. She narrates the dream of her father. She says, my father sees this dream. He said, my father Khalid said, رَأَيْتُكَ أَنَّهُ غَشِيَتْ مَكَّةَ ظُلْمَةٌ. I saw this darkness envelop Makkah, when no one could see anything. Everything was dark and pitch black. حَتَّى لَا يُبْصِرُ مْرُؤٌ كَفَّ. A person could not even see his own palm. And in this condition, he says, I saw this nur emanate from Zamzam. And this nur raised very high, and it enlightened the Baytullah. And then this light enveloped and overwhelmed the entire Makkah. And from Makkah, this light then transferred to Medina Munawwara, to Yathrib. And then it enveloped Yathrib, and to such an extent that I could see the date palm trees in Medina. So from this, in my dream, from Makkah, because of this light, I could see Medina. And in this I awakened, and I narrated this dream to my brother, Amr bin Sa'id. And my brother was quite wise in his opinions. And he said to me, really, my brother, it seems that Abdul Muttalib's children have the truth. Don't you see that the Zamzam came from them? The Zamzam well was dug by them. They are the people that we should emulate and follow. And this was just before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prophethood and messengership, before he proclaimed and invited to the message. And just then, he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited Khalid. Ya Khalid, ana wallahi dhalika an-nur. That same nur you saw, I am that nur. Wa ana Rasulullah. I am the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this prompted the Islam of Khalid radiallahu anhu. Khalid radiallahu anhu is one of the early Muslims. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was also influential in him becoming Muslim. He embraced Islam. His daughter Amar radiallahu anhu says, he was the fifth Muslim. So in the early stages, Khalid radiallahu anhu embraced Islam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Khalid, sent his brother Amr, and sent them to make khidmat for deen in different countries. To such an extent that Amr radiallahu anhu's father passed away during Umar radiallahu anhu's time in a battle called Marjurra, in a famous expedition. Her uncle Amr bin Sa'id, also came to Abyssinia after them. And she also narrates his life, wherein he came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after that, and they participated in expeditions with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her uncle passed away in the battle called Ajnadin. So Amar radiallahu anhu lived a lengthy life through the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's du'as. And this is how Rasulullah's du'a would take a person so far. How fortunate was she when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to her, "Abli wa akhliqi, abli wa akhliqi." So Allah blessed her with such a life. Ulama mentioned it was through the barakat of that dua, that she lived almost a century. To such an extent that the great historian Musa bin Uqba, rahimahullah, met Amma bint Khalid, radiyallahu anha. Hafid al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, mentions that from the Sahabiyat, she was the last to tread on this earth. To such an extent that she lived right till the time of Sahal bin Sa'ad radiallahu anhu. Sahal bin Sa'ad al-Sa'idi radiallahu anhu was one of the last Sahaba also to pass away. He lived 100 years and he passed away in the year 91 Hijri. Regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the last Sahabi to leave this world to live was Abu Tufail Amir bin Wasila radiallahu anhu. He passed away in Makkah Mukarramah. He was the last Sahabi to live on the entire earth. Amir bin Wasila, Abu Tufail radiallahu anhu. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu was the last Sahabi to pass away in Basra. Sahal ibn Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was the last Sahabi to pass away in Medina Munawwara. Wabnu Abi Ufa, Al-Himam Wafa. Ji? وآخر من مات من الصحابة أبو الطفيل موته بمكة وأنس بن مالك بالبصرة وسهل بن عبد الله بالمدينة وابن أبي أوفى الحمام وافى بكوفة. The last Sahabi to pass away in Kufa was Abdullah bin Abi Ufa رضي الله عنه. And the last Sahabi to pass away in Yemen was Abiyad bin Baydar رضي الله عنه. So many Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. Allah give us tawfiq to learn more and more about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Something interesting about this Sahabi, the Sahabiyya, Amar radiallahu anha, she was the last Sahabiyya to live on the face of this earth. And also, one beautiful hadith we will finish off with, that she narrated to the Ummah. She says, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seek Allah's protection from the punishment of the grave. So may Allah ta'ala protect us all from the punishment of the grave. And may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to respect and revere and learn and emulate and disseminate the beautiful lives of the Sahaba and the Sahabiyat radiyallahu anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.